scenes. I don't need your ghetto scenes. Gonna lock and hypnotize. Like a rubber on his eyes. Now I'm up. Get away.
Yeah. Well, 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 well. Excuse me, everybody. It's your girl, Lady V, here coming to you from the One Lady V Radio Network this Saturday evening. And boy, can I say what an evening it has been. I know that this week has been a week where the whole nation, the whole world has been, you know, awaiting, you know, the inauguration or the new voting on the new president. And I know for myself, I always tell people I don't really get into a lot of political things here on the station. But tonight we're not going to talk so much about political things as much as we're going to talk about women in our culture, in the African-American Black culture, who at times, you know, has taken a back seat or not as much spoken about of their contribution to our community as well as our day-to-day livelihood. You know, as I stated in the bio, you know, we have history classes and we always hear about the men, you know, Martin Luther King, you know, Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, but there are a lot of women that we don't hear about. Now, most of us, we've heard and we know who Coretta Scott King is. We know that. But for the most part, most Americans, they only know maybe one or two, her, Rosa Parks, but there's so many more women who played a pivotal role in the civil rights movement, in voting rights and things of that nature. And also, you know, you would be astonished how many Americans, not just Black or African Americans, who don't know how many women changed the way we live our day-to-day lives with inventions. Yes, there are a lot of women of color, African-American women, who played an intricate role in our universe as we live today. So tonight, you know, I'm going to touch a little bit on those topics, you know, because I don't know, I have been wanting to talk about this for some time. And I guess tonight, you know, I thought it would be the best night to do it. You know, I also want to say congratulations to first woman vice president, but woman of color. You know, she is African American. Her mother is from West. And she is an African American. You know, some people I have been reading on social media, some people are saying she's not Black, but if you do your history, you'll understand that she is a woman of color. Nevertheless, she is a woman, the first woman. So I thought tonight would be, you know, one of those nights to start that conversation, because a lot of times we are, you know, we only see the women in Hollywood, you know, our artists, our models, you know, and sometimes we're depicted in ways that are not becoming, that doesn't show the core of who we are as Black women and the contributions that we bring to society as well as our community. So again, you know, I thought tonight would be a night that I would delve over in this conversation. But this conversation is going to be continued because I have a special guest that's going to be coming on the show without giving it away, but I'll just say this. He's a very, very, very important person. He will be joining me on the show later on this week to continue this conversation along with my guest host, STH, which you guys know is Slim the Hustler, who is a very powerful speaker. He's been joining me on the show the last three weeks, I should say, for these more in-depth conversations, because those of you who have been listening to me, you know, I usually talk about, you know, the industry and different things of that nature. But I kind of wanted to take a little bit, you know, more of a responsibility to my community as a public figure and having a platform where I can speak about anything that I want to talk about. And why not talk about something that's important, something that's going to inspire, something that's going to empower, you know, not only myself, but the coming generations, and as well as give knowledge to those of us who just didn't know. So once again, I'd like to thank you guys for joining in, tuning in with me tonight. And if this is your first time listening to me, thank you so much for joining in. If you want to come in on the conversation or you have questions or you just want to contribute to the conversation, please dial 914-205-5780. Once again, that's 914-205-5780 with any questions. And if you have something out there that you, whether you have a business, a clothing line, a book, whatever it is that you're doing, and you want to come on and you want to promote that, please, please, please feel free to call in and promote it. That's what we do here on the One Lady V Radio Network.
Whoa, oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be now. Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and east. Whoa, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be now. Oil wasted on the oceans and upon our seas, fish full of mercury. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be now. Radiation underground and in the sky, animals and birds who live nearby are alive. All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more be used from man? Can't you stand?
For those of you that don't know who that voice was, that was Martin Luther King. No, sorry, not Martin Luther King, but that was Marvin Gaye. I was just reading something, so y'all have to forgive me. But that was Marvin Gaye. And he was also dubbed as the voice of the civil rights movement. You know, even for myself as a young child, I remember growing up listening to a lot of his music, as I still do today. And there are some of his music really tells the story, you know, of our veterans coming back from Vietnam, as well as the war here in the U.S., which was the civil rights movement at the time. So for those of you, the younger generation that does not know who Marvin Gaye is and want a little bit of an insight from an artist's point of view, I would definitely suggest you take a listen to some of his later music, you know, in the, what, 60s, 70s, you know, and just to get a little insight on his views on the Vietnam War and the civil rights movement. But as I said tonight I'm kind of taking a little bit of a detour, you know, kind of a cause for the pause, you know, like I said, I usually talk about, you know, the industry and things like that. But for those of you who do know me, I love to read. I love to fill myself with as much knowledge as I possibly can. You know, knowledge that's going to empower me as a woman. Knowledge that's going to inspire me, knowledge in which I can share with my daughter or, you know, other young ladies to give them the sense of knowing that anything is possible. Anything is possible in this world as long as you use your voice in the most useful way possible, the voice in which is going to or that could, you know, instill the strength that some of us don't even realize that we have, you know. And like I said before, you know, a lot of times, you know, when we talk about history, you know, and the civil rights movement, we always hear about Dr. King and Malcolm X and those gentlemen. And we, as far as the women, we often hear about Coretta Scott King and Rosa Parks. But what we don't hear about is the barrage of other women who stood beside those very men I just spoke of, or those very women, and were integral parts of what I call the mechanical machine that pushed the civil rights movement along with Dr. King to where it is. And, you know, even though we are in 2020, and it seems the more and more I read and educate myself, you know, you would think that things have changed. There has been some change, but not enough change, you know. And when I go back and I read about these individuals and the things that they fought for, in my opinion, 80% of those things are things that we're still fighting for to this very day. So, again, but what I've noticed is during that time, we had more people that were vocal, more people that stood, more people that were willing to fight the fight, to walk the walk, you know. And I'm not going to say that in this time it's because we don't have it. I think, in my opinion, it's because some of us don't understand the sacrifice that women made along with the men during the civil rights movement to have the ability to have certain rights and certain equality. You know, I just feel like, you know, it was silence. And I think it's time that we now kind of wake up just a little bit. You know, I always hear the word woke thrown around, but are you truly woke? You know, as I was doing my research to prepare for this, because some of this stuff, I can't lie, I mostly knew most of it. But because, like I said, I love history. I love reading about people who, you know, make a change, the underdog. I love reading about people like that. But there was a lady that I ran across, and she was actually number one that they put among women during the civil rights movement. And in 2010, Barack Obama named her the godmother of the civil rights movement. Her name was Dorothy Height. Dorothy Height, she was a leader, you know, along with, you know, the rest of them, you know, and she was the president of the National Council for Negro Women for 40 years. She was also the contemporary of Martin Luther King Jr., even standing on stage as he gave his iconic I Have a Dream speech in 1963. Now, she was also a feminist, which she organized workshops to assist freedom schools and provide for low-income families. Now, I didn't know that Barack Obama had named her the godmother, you know, of the civil rights movement. And that's going to, you know, give me more reason to research this woman, you know, because you have to be a very, very strong-willed woman to receive such an accolade from the president of today. So I'm definitely going to do that. So if you're listening, I would like for you to write these names down and do some of this research on your own so you can see the different women that came before us that were very much a part of the civil rights movement. And like I said, she, Dorothy Height. So make sure you write that down. because I'm sure we'll hear about her again on my show. And then there's Diane Nash. She was the founding member of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee in 1960. Now, she coordinated and monitored lunch counter sit-ins and freedom riders. She was also one of the organizers who brought Martin Luther King Jr. to Montgomery, Alabama to support the riders. Now, again, these are women you probably never, ever, ever heard of, but that's why I'm here. I'm using my platform for things like this to give the knowledge, to feed our community with positivity, with people of courage, people of strength, people of faith that change, you know, that were willing to put themselves on the front line, the true front line, to make a change. So again, you know, I'm going to go through quite a bit, you know, tonight. Not all of them, just a few of them. Now, I don't know if you guys ever heard of Daisy Bates. And I'm going to say it again. Her name is Daisy Bates. She's a leader who wanted to end segregation in Arkansas. Daisy Bates' most high-profile achievement was as the guiding light of Little Rock 9. Now, she led the first 9 African-American students enrolled in Little Rock Central High School in 1957. After first taking the school to court in 1954 for denying black students, even after the Supreme Court called for an end to segregation, Bates was also the president of the Arkansas State Conference of the NAACP. Now, I know a lot of you have probably heard of the Arkansas Nine. I know there's a few documentaries, but here's the woman that was at the forefront in bringing you know, the spotlight to that situation and pushing, you know, for these things. So again, I'm going to go through quite a bit, but not too many. But like I said, this is just the beginning of this segment because it's going to continue with my special guests that I have. I have actually 3 special guests that are going to join me later this week to get more involved with speaking of these women. So again, if this is your first time listening to the show tonight and you want to, you know, come in into the conversations, or you know, you have something you want to say, or you have a question, feel free to call me. Call in at 914-205-5780. Once again, that's 914-205-5780. And thank you all for tuning in, chiming in with your girl Lady B, and I hope that you sit tight, relax, and continue to listen tonight. So go get you something to drink, whatever it is that you do, recline, relax, and just enjoy this conversation of enlightenment, empowerment, and knowledge. So once again, we'll be right back.
She's been talked about constantly. She's been up and down, she's been pushed around, but they held her down. NYC. She has no regrets, she accepts the past. All these things they help to make she. She's been lost and found, and she's still around. There's a reason for everything. Yeah.
You know I've been holding on, trying to make me weak, but I still stay strong.
Yeah.
Put my life all up in me.
Oh.
butterflies. Yeah.
Well, welcome back. For those of you that have joined me from the beginning of the hour, thank you for staying in and tuning in and joining in with me. And those of you who just joined in with me tonight, I thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time out tonight. And for those of you who are my constant listeners, shout out to all of my listeners from the U.S., Norway, the Netherlands, Spain, Mexico, and of course, my family over in the UK, Grant Big Body P over there. Shout out to you over there in the UK. Now, tonight, you know, like I said before, usually, you know, I talk about things in the industry, you know, different things like that, music, clothing lines, just different stuff. You know, sometimes I have celebrity guests or independent artists. But tonight, I just wanted to do something a little bit different. The last couple of weeks, I have had a co-host, Slim the Hustler, who is a part of my network now. He will be joining me tomorrow night where we continue our conversations, just, you know, like we always say, just raw conversations about, you know, what's going on today in our community, in our world, in our universe. But tonight's show, I wanted to put a little bit of spotlight on women of color who have made history from the civil rights movement to inventions, because a lot of people don't know just how many women were on the front lines, on the forefront of the civil rights movement, or even know that there were black women that created inventions in which we use and some we cannot live without today. And we're going to talk about those things. But like I said before, I don't talk too much about political things. But one thing that I found out this evening, that most of the votes for the Biden and Harrison campaign came from the black community, majority black women. Black women. So that too is what compelled me to wanted to go ahead and do the first part of the show, because like I said, the show is going to continue for a couple of more episodes with some special guests. So we're talking about the votes and that majority of the votes came from black women. So there's a woman that I'm sure some of us have never heard of. Her name is Fannie Lou Hamer. And like I said before, if you're listening to the show, I advise you to write these names down and do some research. And I promise you that you will be inspired and empowered. Well, aside from the famous speech that began and ended with Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech, Fannie Lou Hamer's testimony at the 1964 Democratic Convention, now the civil rights activist she fought for the right to vote, encouraging and recruiting people in her native Mississippi and all throughout the South. And at one point, her activism got her arrested. Yes, I'm sure we all have heard the stories of that. Now, her true spotlight came at the 1964 convention, where she spoke of her harrowing experiences in Mississippi. And I'm sorry, you guys, excuse me. I have a little bit of technical difficulties with my mic. And black people and how they were murdered for trying to exercise their rights. Is this America? She had asked. Now, President Lyndon Johnson was not happy about her testimony, which he felt was potentially to stir controversy, and he called a last-minute press conference that was supposed to electively distract the press and many live television coverage of Hamer that she was getting. However, the attempt basically backfired on him. Now, who would have thought? Now, as I said before, you know, this is a woman who was an intricate part in Mississippi and throughout the South, encouraging and recruiting people to vote. To vote, something that some of us take for granted. You know, I have to admit, one year I did not. And my father was not happy that I didn't. And he explained to me, you know, how important it was and the people that came before me to fight for that right to do so, to make a difference, to have my voice be heard, and to know that there was a woman behind making that possible means that it's just that much. Exercise my right to vote. And we all should exercise our right to vote at any given time, at any given time. So once again, y'all make sure y'all remember her name. Make sure you remember her name. Now, this lady, like I said, we always hear of Miss Coretta Scott King, and we also hear of Rosa Parks. But I bet most of you have never heard of Joanne Robinson. Now, after Rosa Parks was arrested for famously not giving up her bus seat, Joanne Robinson jumped in to organize support for the Montgomery bus boycotts in 1955. Now, she created thousands of flyers spreading the message of the boycotts to African Americans all over Alabama. Now, she was a critical member of the movement, also assisting with the carpools that took people to and from work during the boycotts. Now, again, this is not to overshadow women such as Miss Coretta Scott King or Rosa Parks. This is just to bring to the forefront so we know as a culture the power that we have and where all of these things that we continuously fight for, even today, where it initially started, and that we must pick up the baton and continue the fight and continue to keep going forward. The other lady that I ran across, her name is, I may say it incorrectly, but I think it's Fatima Clark, that's right. She was once dubbed the mother of the movement by none other than Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. himself. Fatima Clark was a teacher and a leader in the education realm. Now, the South Carolina native began volunteering for the NAACP in 1919, going on to lead civil rights workshops in Tennessee. Now, she worked Thurgood Marshall on getting equal pay for Black teachers and even accompanied Dr. Martin Luther King. Now, I have many, many people in my family who are teachers, and those women, you know, such as, you know, my mother, my aunt, my cousins, to me, they are just as important to the movement as anyone else, because they continue to feed our minds with the knowledge, to feed our minds with empowerment and inspiration. So, again, you guys, make sure you go back and understand your history, because I know we've heard this cliche before. If we don't know where we came from, there's no way we know where we're going. So like I said at the beginning of the hour, it seemed there's there's a gap. You know, we had the civil rights movement. People were marching, making a difference. And somehow along the way, things stopped. So I think it's now time that we pick the baton up and continue to fight, to march, to make a difference within our culture, within our community, within our universe, you know, so things can continue to change for the better. Because, you know, without any change, there will be no togetherness. You know, without togetherness, there's no unity. So we have to continue those things. We can't be afraid to speak and voice our opinions. We can't be afraid to exercise our rights that people before us fought for day in and day out. Some of these people barely ate. Some of them walked everywhere they went. You know, when you think of these marches, you know, a lot of them put their lives on the line. And of course, we know many of them lost their lives. So we have to remember, you know, where we came from in order to have a direction on where we're going. Because in my opinion, these people paved the way to make it a little clearer through the brushes. And now we have to pick up baton and keep heading for the finish line. But once again, you know, like I said, this show is just to put the spotlight on a few people. But I'm going to take a break, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to speak about one other lady before we go into talking about the Black women that were part of major inventions that we possibly, as a nation, probably couldn't live without. So you guys, make sure you sit tight. And, you know, again, like I always do in my shows, at the end of the hour, I will shed the spotlight on a few independent artists out there, like I always do, because, that's, you know, I use my platform for that, to give those artists the opportunity to have their voices heard with their music. So once again, thank y'all for tuning in, joining in with your girl, Lady V. And once again, if you have something that you want to promote, whether it's a clothing line, a book, or you're graduating from college, or you're having a baby, or whatever it is that you're doing, feel free to give me a call at 914-205-5780. Welcome back. That was another one of my favorite songs from Marvin Gaye, What's Going On. And oftentimes when I do listen to it, it's almost like a window vantage point of, you know, the civil rights. And I can imagine, you know, during that time when we had Vietnam vets coming back home. So to this day, I still listen to Marvin Gaye, of course, because it was played in my home by my parents. But once again, if you're just not tuning in, I know you saw the subtitles tonight. You know, I'm shedding the spotlight on women, black women, you know, during the civil rights movement, activists, and of course, black women who invented things today that we probably couldn't live without. But before we go in that segment, there's one last woman that I do want to speak about, and I actually have been studying her for some time now, because most of you that listen to my show know that I do work on a couple of television shows, and my dream role one day is to play this woman, you know, on the big screen, because I know that the time is coming where they're going to do, and I think I did hear a couple of months ago that they, I don't know, either had started or starting to work on her biopic. And she's probably one of the most controversial women during I don't want to say, you know, well, I would say civil rights, activist movement. Her name is Angela Davis. That's what the world knows her by. But her name is Angela Yvonne Davis, born in 1944. She's an American political activist, a philosopher. She's an academic. She's an author. She is a professor at the University of California and Santa Cruz. Now, I'm not going to go too much into her, but I know a lot of you probably have heard of her. She was born to an African-American family in Birmingham, Alabama. Davis studied French at, I think I'm going to say this right, Brandeis University in philosophy at the University of Frankfurt in West Germany. I didn't know that, and I lived in Germany. She studied under the philosopher Herbert Marcus, a prominent figure in the Frankfurt School. Davis became increasingly engaged in far-left politics, returning to the United States. She studied at the University of California and San Diego before moving to East Germany, where she completed a doctorate at the Humboldt University in Berlin. And after returning to the United States, she joined the Communist Party and became involved in numerous causes, including the second wave feminist movement and the campaign against the Vietnam War. In 1969, she was hired as an acting assistant professor of philosophy at the University of California, UCLA Governing Board of Directors. She was soon fired due to her Communist Party membership. Now, I'm not going to go too much because I don't like, you know, doing a lot of the other stuff that, you know, the media likes to put out. But just to give you a little bit more of, you have to, you know, after, you know, like I said, I've been studying her, watching a lot of her old tapings and videos. She was very articulate. When you saw her, if you see her, she's almost like grandiose. You know, she has that aura of, she's very soft-spoken, and it is clear she's very, very, very educated. When the majority of the parties voted against the CCDS proposals among the CCDS colleagues, she left the CPUSA. Also in 1991, she joined the Feminist Studies Department at the University of Santa Cruz, where she became the department director before retiring in 2008. Since then, she has continued to write and remain active in movements such as Occupy and the Boycott, Diversement, and Campaigns. Now, she has received various awards, including the Soviet Union's Peace Prize. Now, she was accused of supporting political violence. She has sustained criticism from the highest level of the U.S. government. She has also been criticized for supporting the Soviet Union and its satellites. Davis has been inducted in the National Women's Hall of Fame in 2020. She was listed as the 1971 Woman of the Year in Time magazine. So again, if you don't know who Angela Davis is or you've heard of her, I encourage you to dig a little bit deeper and not just read what is on the surface, because we know with media, people put things in that are not necessarily true, or it doesn't really get to the core of who the person really is, but based on who they thought they were. So again, these are women. There's a barrage of women that were on the front lines and pillars of feminist movement, the civil rights movement. And I encourage, you know, everyone to know who these women are. You know, I encourage you to know who they are, because after doing more research, I never realized that there was so much more that I didn't know, and so many more women that played as much of a role as the men. But it is time now that we gain our rightful place, and that is to be recognized for the changes that we, you know, help come about, and not just be, you know, take a second seat, you know, or what have you. And I think with the new vice president that is taking office now, I think that's going to, well, I'm not going to say think. I feel that it's going to open the doors for not just women of color, but all women to recognize and understand their true strength. Because again, majority of the votes for Biden came from women, African Americans. He said so himself. So tonight, so again, please do your research, you know where we've been and where we're going, and also give the knowledge to your children. Let them know, because a lot of times I hear kids, you know, like if I'm talking and I'm saying things to my daughter, like, you know, some of the kids around her ask me, well, where did that come from? Where did that come from? Or what is that? So, you know, you can't give them a part of it. You have to give them the whole history of it. So, and I see sometimes when I speak to kids, you know, how they light up when they hear the different things that people just like their moms and dads, or look like their moms and dads, or look like them, was so much a part of that they don't hear about, you know? So I encourage you again to do the research, because I do feel that the time has come. The change is definitely evolving. But what we have to do as a culture, as a people, we have to continue to walk the walk, talk the talk. We have to continue to use our voices in the most articulate form in order to make the most positive changes. So again, I'm just super, super excited about this. But again, we're going to talk more about these women later on this week with my special guest and Slim the Hustler. So again, I encourage you guys to, you know, stay tuned and continue to follow me. So we're going to take a pause for the cause, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk a little bit about the everyday things that some people take for granted that we didn't realize were invented by Black women. Yes, Black women. Some of these things took me by surprise. So I am not, you know, one to not want to feed my soul, my mind, and educate myself. So once again, make sure y'all stay tuned, sit tight, and we'll be right back.
Tell me a secret. I don't just want to know about any secret of yours. I want to know about one special secret.
Children, may let me lay beside you. Do what you want me to.
Take good care of you. That's what a man is supposed to do. And I'll be there for you all the time. Let your hair down. Let me get you in the mood. Take me with you.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. I know it probably sounds like, you know, I'm talking really, really fast. You know, when I get super, super excited about something, you know, that anxiety kind of kicks in. And I get excited about, you know, women that really epitomizes the ideology of strength, power, you know, knowledge, you know. And in today's world, there's a word that even I use, you know, we always say, oh, we're making boss moves, you know, this is boss stuff, you know, things like that. But, you know, there were women before us that really made some boss moves. And like I said before, I love to research. I love history. I love learning things about people. I just love it. I don't know if it came from growing up, moving around the world, living abroad, overseas. I don't know if it came from that, but I just love learning about people. But as I said before, tonight we're talking about many things that women of color, African-American women, have contributed to feminism and civil rights, and also things that Black women, African-American women, invented. You know, I think if I can remember in school, I think there was only one thing that I was taught that someone of color had invented. And as throughout the years, as I've, you know, just wanting to research and wanting to know more and more, I discovered there's so much more. Even the smallest things that most of us use every single day was invented by a Black woman. You know, this one here kind of shocked me. Now, everybody uses phones, I'm sure. Well, Dr. Shirley Jackson, whose work led to those innovations, that's right, Dr. Shirley Jackson, along with developments in the touch tone phones, portable fax machine, and the fiber optic cables that make your long distance calls come in crystal clear. Now, Jackson was the first Black woman to own a doctorate from MIT, the first Black female president of a major technological institute, and went on to become the first Black woman of chair of the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission. Now, her list of achievements and awards, they go on and on and on. So make sure y'all write that down. That's Dr. Shirley Jackson is the reason why we have telephones and fax machines, people. Now, those are boss moves. Now, that's a boss move. Can you imagine if she hadn't done that? Where would we be? How would we communicate? You know, would we have been years to now having telephones, you know? So thank God for Mrs. Dr. Shirley Jackson. Now, this is another item that everyone across the world uses every day, especially when it's cold. That's right, the heater. Alice H. Parker. Now, she took it upon herself to design a natural gas-fueled, new and improved heating furnace. Her design earned a patent in December of 1919, and it helped give birth to the thermostat and the familiar forced air furnaces in most homes today. Can you believe that? Once again, as we say today, those are real boss moves. Those are real boss moves. Definitely boss moves. Excuse me. Now, in 1885, Sarah Goody became the first African-American woman to file a patent. Goody was born into slavery after the Civil War. She moved to Chicago. There she met her husband and the two of them opened a furniture shop. Back in the 1800s, most Black families in Chicago didn't buy a lot of furniture because they lived in small homes and apartments. Seeing a need for innovative space-saving solutions, Goody designed the cabin bed, a bed that could fold in a functioning desk. It's like a Murphy bed, only more useful. You guys know the beds. My great-grandmother had them, you know, the fold-up beds. Well, this lady invented it. Now, this is one, I think, up until, I would say, the late 90s, most Americans were getting into, some people had them, but I think now every home has it. It's the home security system. That's right, the home security system. Marie Van Britten Brown and her husband Albert noticed an increasing crime in New York City's neighborhoods, coupled with the fact that police were slow to respond to calls in their part of town, they set out to make their home feel safer. So in 1966, Brown and her husband filed a patent for a household closed circuit television security system. Now, the system did have a camera, at the front door that looked through one of four peepholes at different heights. That image was broadcast to the user on a television set in another part of the house. It also had a two-way microphone, which allowed for communication with visitors at the door, and a remote switch that can unlock the door to let people in. Can you believe that? The home security system. Boss moves. Now, that's a power couple right there. Now, this one threw me for a loop because although I knew Elvis Presley did not invent rock and roll, I knew it came from, you know, jazz and things of that nature. But I did not know that in 1930 and the 1940s, Sister Rosetta Tharpe was one of the first people to combine gospel music with the medley-driven urban blues, traditional folk, and a unique swing style. Today, Tharpe's musical style is considered one of the first defined parts of rock and roll. Many music legends, including Elvis Presley, Little Richard, Johnny Cash, Chuck Berry, were influenced by Tharpe's unique musical style, yet somehow her name is often left out when people talk about the history of rock and roll. Remember, Sister Rosetta Tharpe is the reason why we have rock and roll, people. Now, this is another common tool we use every day. Every single day, I hope we all use it. Linda D. Normanson invented was what we know simply, yet the revolutionary in 1898, Newman patented her new and improved hairbrush. Now, she patented it. The brush had eventually separated bristle slots that kept dirt and hair neatly combed and detachable. So again, these are common things that we use every single day, people, that were invented by people of color, African Americans, a couple. We talk about boss moves today. Those are boss moves where you sit down and you use your God-given talents to create something that can change the world, can change your everyday living habitat, you know? These are definitely boss moves. Now, this one is major right here. Downtown Los Angeles. Yes, I said downtown Los Angeles. Her name was Bridget. I think I say this middle name right. Betty Mason. She did not invent the city of Los Angeles, but she did help shape the city's downtown area. She helped shape downtown Los Angeles, one of the most wealthiest cities in America. Bridget Betty Mason. Now, she was born a slave and traveled with her slave owner, Robert Smith, as she moved around the country. When Smith moved his family and slaves to California, Mason discovered slavery was illegal in the state, petitioned for the courts to free herself and her family, and she won. With her newfound freedom, Mason worked hard as a nurse and a midwife until she had enough money to invest in real estate. Do you hear that, people? She invests in real estate. Now, I know many people are like, I never would have thought. Now, I know when I go to Los Angeles, I'm going to have a different feeling for it, you know, not just because of all the celebrities and the movie stars, you know. But amongst doing that, investing in real estate, she was able to buy 10 acres for $250, on which she built rental homes and eventually a larger commercial building she rented out. That land she invested in and developed is now the heart of downtown LA. Can you guys believe that? This lady petitioned to free herself, bought real estate, bought 10 acres, is what now defines downtown Los Angeles. Wow. 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 That is boss moves. I'm going to have to say it. Now, this one here is for the ladies. Pretty much, you know, for when we have our monthly visitor, this lady, Mary Beatrice Davidson Kenner. She invented that. So, oh, wow. This one here, when I read about this lady, Valerie Thomas. She was a physicist, inventor, and an NSSA data analyst when she wasn't busy managing programs, which has produced millions of images of Earth. She was inventing the technology, which went on to become the premise for more advanced TV screens and the modern 3D technology. Valerie Thomas. Wow, that is amazing. That is amazing. Dr. Patricia Bath, she invented a device that would drastically improve the process of removing cataracts, which can cause impaired vision and blindness. Can you believe that? She invented something to provide better eyesight. Now, all of this, you know, this information I got from, you know, from Wikipedia, Yes Solution Journalism. So a lot of research went into making sure that things were accurately, you know, written about these women, because like I said before, a lot of times when things are written, you know, people don't always, it's not like they go and give it to the person and they proofread it and say, okay, yeah, that's right. So, you know, as someone who has a platform on the radio, journalist, it is our duty to make sure that we research things. But from what I research, all of that is accurate. And once again, you know, this was something that I wanted to share, and hopefully someone else that's listening wants to share it with their little boy or little girl to encourage them that nothing is impossible. We are all given a God-given talent. We are all given that. But those of us that have the ability and the knowledge, we have to nurture that to give them the confidence to step out and think outside the box and create these things, you know, what we call boss moves and things of that nature, to be innovative, to change the, you know, to change things in society for the better, not just for one group. You know, if all these women created and invented things, not just for one solidarity group, but for everyone to take advantage of, to make everyone's life more comfortable. And things, you know, they provided things that are a necessity, the heater. They provided things of vanity, the comb. They provided things of health, you know, the eyesight, things of entertainment, where music, 3D, things that allow us to keep in touch with each other, the telephone. These are women of color, African-American women, who most were slaves prior to inventing these things. Most were, not all, but most. But they decided to step out on faith and dig deep in their souls that they knew that they were given something special that they can contribute to the world, to the masses, that now in the future, people like myself, books, papers, magazines are written about them. There was a time where a lot of these women did invent things, but because the reason why we never heard of it was because back then, if they were to invent something and they knew a black person had made it, then they wouldn't make any money because no one would buy it. So there are some things that were invented, but they were patented by a white person, because if they hadn't done that, they wouldn't have sold the whatever it was they invented. So a lot of things are now coming to the forefront of the original people who invented these different mechanisms, these different devices that we use every single day. You know, so once again, we cannot forget about where we've come from, because there are so many people who have paved the way, that have created things in our universe, in our culture, to make life a little bit more simpler, a little bit more easier, but also to encourage us to continue, as my grandmother would say, continue the good fight. You know, we can't stop. We have to use our voices. We have to, you know, use them, like I said, in the most positive way to make the most positive changes for not one, but for all. But I did this because oftentimes as women, we fight so hard to have our place or to be seated at the table with everyone, not just people that are not, that don't look like us, but sitting next to the man. You know, a lot of times we're thought of second or not at all, or not at all. But I feel, and I know for a fact as a woman, you know, I see a lot more women in the forefront being presidents of companies. Just recently, I was given the opportunity to be a president at a major record label. I mean, we have Remy Ma. She's the first black woman to own a record label. So we are seeing, you know, we see Ava DuVernay, who is another person who is an inspiration to everyone. You know, she's a director and writer, screenwriter. She is paving the way. There are so many women of color that are definitely picking up that baton and going straight to the finish line, you know. But this is a fight that will always be, you know. It's just generation after generation, we have to feed, give the knowledge, we have to encourage, we have to empower so they can pick up the baton and continue to fight the good fight so that they know that they have a place, that they know that nothing is impossible, that they know that they have, too, the ability to do and be anything that their mind, their heart, their spirit, their soul conjures up to be. That's a positive force in this society, in this universe. You know, so women, and I want to say this to the women, for all us women out there, we are all, I know I don't want to sound like a feminist, but I feel women are the most powerful beings on the planet, the most powerful beings. And I want to encourage all women, you know. I know a lot of times we can be a little bit catty and a little bit of this, a little bit of that. No one's perfect. No one is grander than the other. When we see other women trying to, you know, come out of the bushes, so to speak, and fight our way through, let's not take a hacksaw and chop her down. You know what I mean? Let's not gossip about her. Let's not, you know, say things that we don't know to be true. You understand what I'm saying? Let's encourage her. Let's talk to her and see if there's something we can provide of importance that can help her along the way. Because what I've learned, when I help people along the way, sometimes I don't often know how I'm going to get to the next step in my journey. But each time I get to that step, someone that I've never met comes along and helps me in that journey. So I ask all women, let's continue to uplift. Let's continue to encourage the generation that's coming up. Let's continue to tell our little girls that we are just as important. We are just as strong. We are just as smart, you know, so they can continue to be the next inventor. They can continue to be the next vice president of the United States. They can continue to be the next whatever it is that they want to do. But we cannot do that if we as women don't hold each other up and build each other to keep going, because these women literally started from nothing to create things to make our lives, our culture, our universe more comfortable. You know, so I encourage that, you know. And men, this is not a shot to you guys, but you guys have done some amazing things too, so I didn't forget about y'all. But once again, I thank you all for tuning in tonight. Like I said before, I will continue this conversation with my special guest and my guest host with Slim the Hustler. He's going to be on. Those of you who know, he's a part of my network. I'm so glad that he accepted coming to my network. And because he's definitely somebody that when he speaks, you know, he's like myself. He loves history. He loves to, you know, talk about things that are imperative to our culture. So make sure you guys stay tuned and make sure you follow me on social media. Everything is Lady V, L-A-D-I-V-E-E. You can Google it. My name is trademark, so it's easy to find. But before I go, y'all know I have to do my shout out. Shout out to Limelight Records, Stephanie. That is a label that was created, that's owned by a young lady out of Danville, doing amazing things. She's definitely a force to be reckoned with, definitely a force. I also want to give a shout out to Camouflage Sisters. They became a bestseller on Amazon with their trilogy. I call it a trilogy. It's a book that is written by a multitude of women that served in the U.S. Army, telling their different stories. So make sure you guys find it. It is called Camouflage Sisters. Shout out to J. Ray Hustle Hard. She's definitely a lady that you guys have to find. She is an artist. She is a business owner. She's a stylist. She has her own beauty shop. So she's doing amazing things, you know. Shout out to Amber. Amber is a young lady that I met who graduated from Ole Miss. She also played professional basketball, I think overseas, if I'm not mistaken, overseas. Shout out to Amber. She's doing amazing things. Amber stands about, I want to say she's like 6'3", 6'2". She's a beautiful woman, very, very smart, very, very intelligent. She's doing amazing things with what she's doing. Shout out to her. I definitely want to give a shout out to Esquire, Icewater Entertainment, Slim the Hustler, Off the Block Records, OG Mac Drama over at 1017. Got to give a shout out to him. Shout out to, I don't want to forget anybody, Donnie Durango over in Boston. Shout out to my mentor, Fast Clark, Fast Nation, Buddha Ali, Mike Jones. I'm trying to remember because sometimes you guys don't understand. You forgot me. Hellraiser from the Wu-Tang family, you know, Sons of Man, Hellraiser Music Inc. Shout out to him over there. Shout out to Skrillatown. He's doing amazing things. Make sure you guys find him. Mo McCoy. Mo McCoy is a television producer. He's got a movie in Walmart called Perfect Romance. Make sure you guys find that. Shout out to my brother Ace. He's an artist, so make sure you guys find him on, I think he has a YouTube channel. And I also want to shout out to all the educators out there, all the teachers, all the veterans. I know Veterans Day is coming up. Thank you guys so much for your service. All the teachers, all the police officers. And once again, you guys, make sure we stay safe. Make sure we stay masked up, cleaned up, because we are still dealing with the pandemic. And to anyone that has lost anyone during this time, my condolences and my prayers to you. Once again, thank y'all for tuning in with your girl Lady V tonight on the One Lady V Radio Network.
What y'all wanna do? Wanna be ballers, shot callers, brawlers. We'll be dipping in the Benz with the spoilers. On the low from the Jake and the Taurus. Trying to get my hands on some grants like Horace. Yeah, living the raw deal. Three-course meal, spaghetti, fettuccine, and veal. But still, everything's real in the field. And what you can't have now, leave when you will. But don't knock me for trying to bury 7 zeros. Over in Rio de Janeiro, ain't nobody's hero, but I wanna be heard. On your hot 9-7 every day, that's my word. Swimming in women with their own condominiums. 5 plus 5s, who drive millenniums? It's all about the Benjamins, what? I get a 50-pound bag of oof for the mutts. 5 carrots on my my hands with the cuts. It's something
I
European
want a
whole crawled out with the
being
clutch.
A bro, nigga. Drinking more liquor, driving a bro bigger. I'm with most sippers, watched by gold diggers. Rocking Bajor denims with gold zippers. Lost your touch, we kept ours. Popping crystals, freaking the three-quarter reptiles. Enormous cream, forest green. Benz Jeep for my team, so while you sleep, I'm a scheme. You see through, so why nobody never gonna believe you. You should do what we do, stack chips like... Don't let the melody intrigue you, cause I'll leave you. I'm only here for that green paper with
the evil. I'm strictly trying to cop those colossal size Picasso's. I have poppy flip coke outside Del Gato's. The Enja with cash flowing like Sosa. And the Latin chick transporting in a chocha. Stampeding over prop modes, never sober. Flexing Range Rovers, dealing weight by Minnesota. Avoiding arcs with camcorders and Chevy Novas. Stashed in a building with this chick named Malone.